So I will see you on the other end where before we get you on get you rolling, let's introduce Marianne to tee us up with a beautiful song. Thank you
Yeah.
all.
One day, love may be all we really need. One day, we might see life is like a dream. Thank you, Mother. Thank you, Father. One day, there will be no guilt between you and me. Someday we will grow out of these beliefs. Some way fear may be something. Yes, I am you.
Wow. Thank you so much, Marianne. It is so wonderful for us to be reminded of the truth that we are one self, united with our Creator, at one with every aspect of creation, and that we are limitless in power and in peace. The power and the peace that comes with knowing I am you, you are me. We are God's body. It is so wonderful. Well, today I want to be talking about how amazing you are and what a change maker you are. Today I want to take a moment to remind you of how you have forwarded heaven on planet Earth in more ways than you will ever know. When the reading of the Daily Word was happening, it occurred to me the word today, kind. Kindness. And I know one thing about me, and I know it about you. The thing I know about me is that I have not always been kind in every moment. I have not always been compassionate. I have not always been uplifting. I have not always been nourishing. I have not always been loving. I've not always been empathetic. But I have sometimes. I have at times been kind. I have been compassionate. I have been loving. And I have been uplifting. And this is no small thing. And so if you are like me and you listen to the daily word or read it for yourself, and you can focus your attention on the moments in your life where you have fallen short of being your best possible self. We all know that we have not always been loving or caring or kind or compassionate or uplifting. But I would like us not to be discouraged about those moments. I would like us today to focus upon the true reality that we have had our moments of being God made flesh, demonstrating the kindness, the love, and the compassion of the Creator who created us to be these things and to extend these things. One of my daddy's favorite songs was a song made popular by the singer Mahalia Jackson. Just a few brief words that really, really impressed me as a child, and that continued to impress me. These are the words of the song in brief. If I can help somebody as I travel on, if I can lift somebody with a word or a song, if I can catch someone who may be going wrong, then my living shall not be in vain. If I can help somebody as I travel on, if I can lift somebody with a word or a song, if I can catch a brother or a sister who seem to be going wrong, then my living shall not be in vain. There are no small acts of kindness. There is great power in every moment of our extending kindness, love, and compassion. You have extended these things many, many times in many, many ways as a gift to many, many brothers and sisters who are you, reflections of yourself. This has never been a small thing. Seemingly little things are really big things. Most all of us can bring to mind the movie, It's a Wonderful Life, about a man, George Bailey, whose dreams of traveling kept being deferred. All he wanted was to travel the world and have grand adventures. But it turns out he never was able to leave his little town of Bedford Falls. He felt like his life had had no meaning. It had fallen short of his own expectations of it. Why were his dreams deferred? Stuck in Bedford Falls is how some of us, at many times, feel that we have not accomplished what we desired to. We have not gone to the many places or done the many things that we hoped for. It is easy sometimes to think of our lives as having very little meaning and as not being grand events of changing the world. Today, I want you to know your life is a grand event. And your life has changed the world. There is no other like you. The story of George Bailey was not a story of a man whose life had meaning because it was what he wanted to do. It was the story of a man whose life had meaning simply because he was alive, doing what he did, being kind, compassionate, understanding, and uplifting. It's not a wonderful life because all of our dreams come true. It's a wonderful life because we, here living day to day in our relationships, are forwarding heaven on planet Earth. My brother, Reverend Paul Tenaglia, has known me for many, many years, many decades. And we were friends in Florida when I had an experience. It's the experience that sponsors my talk title for today. How could you have known? But before we get to Florida, with me being with Paul, we must go back to earlier years when I lived in New York. I had come from small town Amherst, Massachusetts, to be an actor and a singer in New York City. My agents and my manager had one principal issue with me when I was a young man in New York City, auditioning for parts, going for being in show business. They told me over and over again, you're a really good show, but not so hot on business. They actually told me you're too loving, you're too kind, you're too giving, you're too sharing. They would remind me over and over that show business is a cutthroat world. Carlos, you can't be telling other actors about auditions. Carlos, you can't be so sharing with your information. Carlos, be harder. Be tougher. It's a cutthroat world, this show business. They basically told me that I needed to pretend. I needed to be sure that I got all the casting agents' names, that I would find out if they were married or not and remember their spouse's name, if they had children, remember their children's name, find out when their birthdays are, bring them a card. They basically wanted me to court each casting director as though they were the apple of my eye. I just couldn't stop being Carly. I loved people. I was an open-faced sandwich. But I wasn't going to do anything that was out of my sense of just being me. I'm not a cutthroat person. I'm an open-faced sandwich. I'm not a hoarder, I'm a sharer. If I hear about an audition for young black men who are thin and about 6 feet tall, I'm gonna tell my friends who are young black men, thin and about 6 feet tall, there's an audition you might want to attend. But even though I didn't act the act and do the right thing, I managed to get some parts here and there. I did lots of what's called under five work, under five lines, and soap operas. I did commercials. I traveled to several places that were wonderful doing commercials, bit parts. At some point, I had a leading role in a Black radio soap opera called Sounds of the City, and that was wonderful. But the biggest opportunity that I had was that after a series of auditions, I was chosen to be a recurring regular on the most popular show in New York City at the time. The show was called Kojak with Telly Savalas, and it was the main thing going on. Everybody tried to get on that show. And finally, after a series of auditions, they cast Carlos Wayne Anderson in a recurring principal role on Kojak. I thought it was the biggest thing that could ever happen to me. I was so filled with excitement. This is one of Reverend Paul Tenaglia's favorite experiences of me. On the way to my first day of shooting, I took the subway in plenty of time to arrive on set in plenty of time for my first day of shooting on the biggest show in New York, Kojak with Telly Savalas. When the subway got into the vicinity of where we were shooting, I remember running up the stairs onto the street with nothing on my mind but, yay, God, Kojak. When I got to the top of the stairs, there was a woman sitting on the ground just outside of the entrance to the subway. She had a sign unlike any other sign that I had seen. Her sign, in big black letters, written with a black magic marker, said this: notice me. I'm here. That caught my attention, and I remember looking in closer. She was sitting there, and both of her hands were mangled. Both of her hands were gnarled. There was a little cup in front of her, and some people had put some change and some dollar bills in there. Notice me, her sign said. I'm here. All I remember was stooping down and looking into my sister's eyes. I was there to notice her. That's all I had in mind. I squatted down. I reached out. I held her gnarled, mangled hands, and I looked into her eyes. I know that there was some speaking. I know I said some things to her. I know that she explained a bit about her life and her life condition to me. I know that I put money into her cup. And I remember being lost in my connection with my sister. After quite a while, the one thought that had been on my mind for weeks, and certainly on my mind as I took the subway on my mind when I ran up the stairs had left my mind completely for I don't know how long. And then it returned. My God, Kojak, I'm supposed to be on the set of Kojak. I remember standing up and excusing myself. I told the woman where I was going and why I had to rush away. And then I went running up the street and around the corner. And I got to the area where the set was up and my agent was there. And when my agent saw me, my agent looked at me in a way that was like he was spitting bullets at me. He shook his head. I remember him telling me, I cannot believe that you would sabotage this opportunity. And then he let me know, you may as well turn around and go home. I've recast you. The person who has taken your place is on his way. I remember saying, it can't be too late, it can't be too late, it can't be too late, please, please, no. You've sabotaged this opportunity. You won't have this role. I've replaced you with Roger. I remember leaving, wondering how I was going to tell my parents, how I was going to tell my friends. How I was going to even live with myself. Well, I tried to feel really bad, but I couldn't. I knew that I had blown something big, but I knew that I would carry on with my life. Some 12 years later, I was no longer an actor in New York. I had been a singer singing along with a man, Johnny Earl. Johnny Earl, I met at Ted Hook's backstage at a time when Little Foxes with Elizabeth Taylor was playing at the theater right next door. Our casting agents and managers said that you should hang out at Ted Hook's backstage one day because there are a lot of casting directors who are there. One may see you and find that you're just right for a role. But I actually went there to meet Johnny Earl, to sing with him. Years later, after singing in show business, in New York, in Philadelphia, in Miami, in many places, Johnny decided that he no longer wanted to do show business. I had introduced him to Unity. Now he wanted only to sing for God. And so we did. And we were a hit throughout the 80s. And I was so happy. About 12 years after losing the role on Kojak, me so happy in my partnership with Johnny had just finished a concert in Naples, Florida, Unity of Naples, a beautiful church. After we did our concert, as usual, there was a long hug line. And I'm hugging people in the hug line and I'm accepting their appreciation and I'm appreciating them. At some point, there was a woman and a husband who get to me in the hug line, and they are both crying. They're trembling. She says, "You don't remember me." I look at her. She looks a bit familiar, but I can't download from where. She says, "I'm so glad that I saw your flyer. I turned to my husband and said, this is him. This is the guy I told you about. This is the guy my family knows about. This is the guy I have testified about for years. Giving a concert at Unity of Naples, where I live. The husband was sobbing. I said, I'm sorry, I don't know where I know you from. She said, I never saw you on Kojak. I looked for you. As soon as she said Kojak, she began to become more familiar to me. I remember that I glanced down at her hands thinking, is she the woman who was sitting there? No, she couldn't be. That woman had gnarled hands. She went on to testify. And she kept saying over and over, how could you have known? How could you have known? How could you have known that you noticed me? And when you stood up to run to the set of Kojak, by the time you got to the corner, before you turned, a burning sensation came into my hands. They became as hot as fire, but it was a comfortable heat. A comfortable fire. She said, my fingers began to ungnarl. She put her hands up to show me. Her husband was sobbing. I've heard about you all these years, he said. And she kept repeating, how could you have known? Well, everyone gathered around in that hug line, including me and Johnny, were sobbing and sobbing. She was right. How could I ever have known that just giving her a little time, a little attention, a little notice, was not a small thing. It was cosmic in its impact. Wow. George Bailey, how could you have known? How could you have known that if not for your life touching the lives of others, the world would not be such a bright place? George got to see that just because he was alive in Bedford Falls, his brother was alive. His wife had a partner. His family business was saved. I've not always been kind. I've not always been loving or uplifting or compassionate or understanding. You have not always either. But we have been. We have at times been fully kind, fully compassionate, fully understanding, and these have never been small things. One day you will be able to see the movie of your life. You will be able to see how you, in living your life, you, just as you are, with nothing needing to be added or taken away, you, in Bedford Falls, have forward heaven on planet Earth. You have made this wonderful life even more wonderful in the lives of more than you can count. Be you not weary in your well-doing. For in due season, you will reap, if you faint not. It's as simple as that song, one of my daddy's favorites. If I can help somebody as I travel on, if I can lift somebody with a word or a song, if I can catch somebody who seemed to be going wrong, then my living shall not be in vain. You are the light of the world. Go shining. Let's go within. How could I have known the power of my influence, the power of my light, the influence of my love? How could I have known that I am one who has made a difference, that every smile I have given, every outreach of a hand to hold, to uplift, every looking deep into the eyes of another's soul, in thanksgiving for their being. How could I have known the cosmic effects of every act of kindness I have extended? I had heard that love is the only power, and something within me knows that every moment of my extending love to anyone, anywhere, at any time, has changed the entire universe. How could I have known the power of one child of God to set alight another child of God just with a smile, a notice? We all want to be noticed. We all wish to be seen. I have noticed and seen many, and I may not have ever known the effect of the blessing it is to be seen and noticed and embraced. Every act of kindness is a miracle, miraculous in its power, beyond all earthly comprehension. If I have helped somebody as I travel on, then my living has not been in vain. If I have lifted somebody with a word or a song, then my living has not been in vain. So my living has not been in vain. I am the light of the world, come to shine away the shadow. And I have. in little moments that are cosmic in their impact. God in me increase these moments. I am the light of the world. I will go shining. I have spoken. It is written. It is law. It is done.
Bye.